This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes as we continue our study of that marvelous Psalm, Psalm 139 in the Old Testament of our Bibles. We have already considered the first 8 verses, and at the close of our last study we had simply read verses 9 and 10. And I want to read those again today as we begin our study. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Here the psalmist is saying that if he should fly with the swiftness of light from the east to the west, or should try to escape to the depths of the sea, he still cannot escape. Let us stop and think about the fact that, so far as science can determine, light travels at approximately 186,000 miles per second, are somewhere around 7 times around the earth with each second. Now he is saying, in effect, if I could flee from God with that kind of speed, even then I could not get away from him. Or if I were able to go to the uttermost parts of the sea, several miles deep in the deepest part of the ocean, even then I could not escape from God, for there he would be and would be aware of me. In verses 11 and 12, the psalmist said, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Here the psalmist is saying it is just as impossible to escape from God under cover of darkness as it is to escape by change of place. In verses 9 and 10, he had contemplated, could I escape from God if I went from one place to another with this tremendous speed? And he had answered no. And now he contemplates the problem, could I escape from God if I were somehow or other to be able to be in darkness all along? But darkness does not provide a place or a way of escape from God. The psalmist declares that the night is just as day is to God. Now, having finished the first 12 verses, we come to the third main division of this psalm. And here he shows that we should seek God's aid in self-examination because of the Lord's knowledge of his beginning. Note now verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Again, the word thou is emphatic, emphasizing that it is God who does this and no one else. The word for indicates that it gives an intimate reason for the preceding knowledge, all that has gone before. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. God knew about us even then. In verse 14 he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Here is what is no doubt a parenthetical exclamation of adoring wonder for the knowledge of God which was displayed in making him. Each one of us has, right before his very eyes in every waking moment, evidence of God. The marvel of our own bodies, the marvel of our own mind, our ability to reason, the sense of oughtness, of moral and spiritual obligation which each one of us has within the inner recesses of his own soul is the evidence of the existence of God. And so we cannot escape from God by place, by swiftness of flight, or by darkness. In verses 15 and 16, the psalmist declares, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. And so he makes clear that none of us was hidden from God, even while forming in the womb. How then could any of us expect to escape from him now? How could any of us expect to escape from God's knowledge of our sin, not only of our deeds, but of our thoughts? Be with us next time as we continue our study of Psalms 139.